fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello and welcome back to the Undercut Podcast. We're back ahead of a new season of Formula One to make our 2026 predictions, with the help of some friends of the podcast too. What could possibly go wrong? I'm your host, Jesse Billington, and joining me once again is none other than award-winning journalist, Mr. Timo Albus Daly. How are you? And you copied that over from last week.
Now that I did just copy-paste and completely forget about it.
Yeah, that's just very self-congratulatory now.
Oh, it was my turn. I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm in a good place when it comes to work. Motorsport is coming back. The sunlit uplands of sort of seeing cars going around in circles is returning fast. We've already had the Daytona 500, which is really good. So we're already sort of heading in the right direction. And Formula One is inching ever closer, which is a threat if you're Aston Martin, and something to be looked forward to if you're pretty much all the other teams. We'll get into that, though, with our predictions. And as usual, we've asked friends of the show for their predictions. We always go for the team's championship, the driver's title. Then we ask you to pick every driver who will score a podium. And then we have just an array of sort of additional little questions. Most DNFs, maybe a driver swap, something to do with pit stops, a battle between two outfits, and the biggest damage bill. And to add insult to injury this year, we will later randomize essentially the all possible options just to see if we're any better than doing this at random. And also, if we're any better than AI. We finally embrace the technological revolution. I asked AI.
I don't know about we. I'm still very much stuck in my 1950s.
I have begrudgingly accepted the technological revolution of artificial intelligence, and I use the word intelligence very lightly there, to predict the constructor's title, the driver's title, the driver scoring a podium. Pretty much I got it to answer every question. It took a lot of prompting and a lot of reminding it what it was supposed to do, because sometimes it seemed to completely forget teams, which was quite impressive.
If you've been watching F1 in the last couple of years, a couple of those, understandable.
Yeah, reasonable. It also forgot drivers. It added in drivers who are not currently racing in Formula 1 as well. It got very confused a lot of the time.
Are you telling me Clay Regazzoni is not winning the 2026 F1 World Championship?
Yeah, and he's not.
Do I have to change everything now?
Yeah, he's not doing it for Surtees either, which is going to be the real bummer for ChatGPT.
Go and call some bookies and call some bets on.
Yeah, ChatGPT was kind enough to provide us with sort of like a sentence of optimism for each of its predictions. So we'll see. Just be reminded of who it's put where for the driver's title. especially considering where it's put that team. So we'll read this out as we go along, and we'll kick off with the Constructors' Championship. Obviously, a lot to look forward to this year with the new regulations coming into play, a lot of teams shaking things up, a new team entering into the field completely, another taking over another team, various different power units. So many teams still don't even have fuel that's sort of homologated for Formula One. There might only be, I think I'm right in saying, Audi and anyone running a Ferrari power unit legally taking to the starting grid in Australia, because
I love already. It's around, chaos, yeah. And we would complain a lot about it when the time comes if it happens, because you think, how have you managed to let this happen? But until that point, it's very fun.
It's very funny, because I don't know who the fuel provider for Red Bull Ford is, but I know that Petronas haven't got anything sorted for the Mercedes engines, and Aramco and whatever Honda have produced are also still waiting for homologation. So well done to Shell and whoever produces Audi's petrol. I can't remember.
It's the Audi at this point.
Yeah, maybe Audi are just drilling it out of the ground themselves. They've gone full Tommy Norris and just sort of started sucking it out of the earth. But anyway, Constructors' Championship. Timo, this is possibly going to be another year where you and I sort of agree on quite a bit in relative close.
Yeah, I was making this up as I went along earlier, and it's the awkward thing, because on the one hand, we want to try and be accurate. On the other hand, it's 2026, it's a new set of regulations. It's a bit of a free-fall in a lot of ways, because we really don't know for the first time since, arguably, 2014, the rough idea of how things are going to go. So you want to be a bit outlandish, but at the same time, you can't. The evidence we've been given in testing and general vibes from drivers and teams as well has made us be a little bit more conservative and therefore agree annoyingly on some of these things. But one of the things that I just couldn't resist, because as we were saying earlier, this could be the year finally. So we've got to say at the start of every year, we've got to be optimistic. And you know what? If it's not the case at the end of the year, then so be it. But I would rather go in with blind optimism after seeing that race start from Hamilton in testing. You've got the hat. I've got the jumper not on me right now, but it's there. It's ready for a stupid o'clock alarm to watch Australia and to be ready for everything. I've had to put Ferrari as the constructor champions. It's there is no other option.
I might start quietly playing the Italian national anthem in the background of the edit for this bit because I think it could be their year. BP, it's BP Castrol that are providing fuel for Audi, by the way, and their fuel is good fuel according to the FIA. But yeah, Ferrari again. Those the race starts. The fact they seem to have got the turbocharger set up right. They've got the launch set up right. Their gearbox isn't made out of cheese. They've done it all properly. They've done it all right. Maybe this
And
is the
Hamilton's
redemption for
talking
Fred
confidently
Vasseur.
about the car, you know.
Yes.
They both are Leclerc as well, and you know he had some jibes to begin with about the needing a university degree to understand the car. But at the same time, all these other drivers, they're looking and going, Lewis looks a bit too comfortable for our liking. And it
And
seems to be his kind of setup, his kind of car, in the way that it handles and all this sort of thing. And everyone is just sitting back and watching the testing times and watching his race starts and going, no, let's not try and get
Thought
ahead of
very
ourselves
William
just
Wallace just
yet.
sort of hold.
Thinking Jar Jar Binks just steady,
Yeah.
steady. But
It's exciting watching Lewis Hamilton be enthused about Formula One again off the back of driving a car, which we haven't seen for a little while. Those last Mercedes of his were dogs, with want of a better phrase. They were atrocious. The previous generation of Ferrari that he had to endure also was not great. And obviously, he was getting used to the team at the time. He's now had a year to sit down to address the team, to make these changes, to get things in place. And we've gone back to a slightly smaller car, one that's a bit more skittish, a bit more skiddy, that you have to really chuck around and wrestle into the turns. It's interesting that he said that you have to have sort of like a master's degree to understand it. Meanwhile, Fernando Alonso saying that even the chef at the team could drive the Aston Martin. Clearly, one has gone down the wrong pathway, and I'm still
I
fingers
was going to
crossed
say
that the other
that may say something more about one of the teams rather than the car itself in terms
Yeah,
of the regulations, how it impacts.
how overly subscribed was the job of chef at Aston Martin that they had to pick someone who was also a good racing driver? Like, how
Is
long did their
Felipe
reserve
Drugovich the
driver last?
chef?
Yeah, perhaps he makes a good bolognese or something. But no, I think Ferrari have got it set this year, and it's not just Ferrari. When you look at the positivity that a lot of the Ferrari customer teams have been able to carry out from testing, and the reliability, the fact that they haven't been chewing through engines or gearboxes or having to send stuff off to
I think it was
Maranello.
Ferrari who was saying that they used the same engine from Barcelona and Bahrain,
Yeah, they've.
and it just carried it through. And you're like, damn, all right.
And when you bear in mind that they are putting sometimes in a day two, three race distances through an engine, that's a really good sign that this early on Ferrari are like, okay, we seem to be able to make
It's
one
really
engine
difficult to not
last.
get ahead of yourself because
Yeah.
you just go, all of this looks very good, but I can't trust this because history exists and I can't ignore it, unfortunately.
But we've got a Frenchman in charge of Ferrari. We've got a world champion coming, have now settled at the team with regulations that suit him, with an engine that seems stronger than ever before. It's got the makings of a magical story, and I have hope.
It gives me as well, obviously, many more championships than the example I'm about to say in Lewis's case, but very 2014 Mercedes in terms of here's a driver with a world championship and a teammate who is capable of a world championship. And I just think about Bahrain from 2014 in particular as well and go, imagine if we got a sequel with car style racing that we saw from Leclerc and Hamilton in 24. That would be, I wouldn't really care where everyone else is at that point. I'd just be happy watching just those two just go at it, hammer and tongs for the entire 90 minutes.
It would be like the 2023 Bahrain Grand Prix when it was Leclerc versus Verstappen. And it was that constant ding dong in the opening round at Bahrain as well, where you saw,
22, I think,
was it
yeah.
22? Because one year they had a really Red Bull suffered badly because they had like Perez conk out on the opening lap or something. And was,
They both conked out, but up until that point, they were
they're having a
fighting
proper
like
fight all
dogs.
around, yeah. And it's that moment where you sort of sit up and go, oh, we're on for something. I think this year has also got the makings of that. With first place in the teams out of the way, second place, it's another agreement from us.
Yeah,
And despite the
I'm
fact
thinking
that
with
they haven't got petrol yet, I feel like this might be an interesting or bold call.
minor issue. Mercedes. They looked strong in the first week of testing. They looked decent in Barcelona. If anyone was going to get it right, even when they've got it wrong, it's not been catastrophically wrong. You know, we talk about the 22 to 25 years at the team, and okay, yeah, definitely wasn't their finest moment, but they were still podiuming. They were still winning races. They were still finishing decently in the constructors. They weren't yo-yoing like McLaren have been. They weren't floundering a bit as tight as Ferrari were. So they've been pretty consistent. It makes sense. They've got two very strong drivers. George, I think, could really be in it this year. I think the championship's going to be very tight. We'll get to that in a bit when we do our drivers ranking. But it just, in theory, again on paper, there's no reason why not. I think of the top four teams, logically, they have the second strongest lineup on the grid.
Yeah, I think they've done the hard graft, they've done the learning, and you only drop the ball in that style once. You learn pretty quick in Formula One. And yes, they sort of mucked it up when it came to the 22 through 25 regs. Not their finest hour, but I think Mercedes are a team that's willing to learn from their mistakes in sort of an antithesis of Ferrari, which is, can get a bit Italian and blasé about things. But Mercedes were willing to sit down and go, look, we did not do very well here. They would have had sort of the ruler wrapped over their knuckles by Toto Wolff and told to buck up their ideas. And I think as soon as that fuel is certified, I think they have got a really strong chance of putting in a showing. There's a lot to look forward to. And again, like you said, with George Russell, this is possibly going to be one of his best shots at a championship in recent years.
I can't remember if I said it to you or to someone else or both semi-recently, but it feel, George to me this year feels like Charles in 22. He's, well, not in 22, in 24 rather. He's given the opportunity, he can fight for that title. And Charles just didn't have the car but in 24 to do it, but he still did a very, very fine job of making the maximum out of the opportunities that came his way and that he created. Whereas George, I think he has the car this year, finally,
Yeah.
after however many years of patiently waiting for it, he could be in that position. So, third place, we have disagreed, and finally, and I think we disagree for almost everything, bar 8th place, amusingly, and 11th, but that is obvious
With
for
these,
reasons we'll get to.
we're only disagreeing, certainly for some of them, by one place. It's where it's the
We've got
tightness
to take the
to
disagreements where we
unpick.
can.
Yeah. It's where it's tight to unpick, and we're like, we don't know which way round it's going to go, and it's sort of very 50-50. You've gone for Red Bull coming third. I've gone for McLaren coming third.
My argument for this being because, not really spoilers, you've put Red Bull in fourth, I've put McLaren in fourth, so we've
Yeah.
switched them around there. My argument for this being Hadjar's going to be a better second driver than Red Bull had last year, which, bar from Yuki, is not high. Somewhat amusingly. But still think that Max is going to be Max. And he was enough to carry that team to lofty heights last year by himself. So even with Hadjar there, who's going to be doing a decent job, I think, it's going to be enough to beat a team like McLaren, who I don't know if they will have learned the lessons that they needed to from last year. But yes, they won both championships. But
They made a
weirdly,
hash of
you
doing
know,
it.
it yeah, they went about it in a really unique way, say. And that could hamper them again this year, and that could be the cost for me between third and fourth. That's the why I've put them in that order.
I've thought similarly, but come to a different conclusion. I think Hadjar's going to be good, don't get me wrong, but I just don't have confidence in this sort of new age of Red Bull yet. The Ford power unit is completely untested. This is Ford coming in. They're supplying mostly the electronic components. This is Red Bull essentially photocopying their work from their Honda days and stripping out the bits they don't need. So there's this sort of odd Honda basis to it that I don't think is going to give them a very strong footing as it's modified into this new era of regulations. And equally, we don't know enough about their sort of aerodynamicists and their technical sort of understanding of the rules. I'm not imbued with confidence, let's say.
Yeah, you've still
McLaren.
put them fourth. So
Yeah.
you're still somewhat comfortable.
Because I feel that Max Verstappen can drag reasonable performances out of that car. And I think that Hadjar's got the sort of guts and determination to do similar. But I think McLaren, by playing a very sort of, as we said, I think in possibly in the pre-record, have played this very sort of straight down the middle, just sort of gone for a completely neutral car, might pay dividends to them because they won't find themselves fighting from one side of the pitch to the other. They've just sort of got this ability to sort of weave as the sort of rules and the challenges change from race to race. They've got this sort of slightly more neutral platform. Plus, I have faith in the Mercedes engine department. I think that while it's taking their time to get that power unit, or certainly the fuel for it certified, the power unit's passed all of its tests. Those changes in compression ratio under hot and cold have been greenlit. So I think the Mercedes power unit is going to be a really interesting one to keep an eye on. And I think as one of the stronger performing customer teams for Mercedes, McLaren have got a bit of a shot here. Plus, they've got two drivers that still have a lot to prove. Lando to prove that he's not just a one-timer, and Oscar to prove that he is a world champion. And I think that's going to really drive them on and give them that bit of an edge over Red Bull. I think it's going to be close. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be much like we saw to the tail end of last season, where we saw sort of the top four constructors constantly swapping places until sort of McLaren died off, and it was still sort of mix and match for the remaining three. I just can see that happening next year, but with slightly different sort of rhyme and reason to it. I don't think you're wrong. I just think that potentially
I
we're
think
both.
whichever way round it ends up being, it's going to be a small handful of points. It's not
Yeah.
going to, and I think this is going to be what we get to with the Drivers' Championship later. The order is frustrating for me on my own one, never mind anybody else's, because I've just had to make a decision and go, there's going to be, you'd argue, reliability issues this
Yeah.
year. There's going to be some random crashes. There's going to be faults maybe at the start, and you get a 10-car pileup at the back of the grid because Colapinto's had a great qualifying and then not been able to get into first gear, and everyone just piles into the back of him. Shit's going to happen. But despite all that, Henry's going to be happy with me because Haas are going to finish fifth.
I think Haas are going to finish sixth, but I do think Williams are going to finish fifth instead of your placing of
Well,
sixth. So again, this
also
is
they're
another
going to
one where
finish
we've sort of
sixth.
gone vice versa. I think Williams, again, they've got the really strong Mercedes power unit. They've got a very solid driver lineup. This is no longer the Williams of yore, where it was Logan Sargeant and Nicholas Latifi being sort of dragged around by a stronger teammate. We've got a competent lineup. We've got an enthused lineup and a pair of drivers that want to make this project work. And while they might grumble for the first five rounds or so, possibly not even as many as that, this is a team that also started its development on this year's chassis and engine power and engine sort of fitting and all of those lineups earlier than anyone else. They've should, in theory, have the best possible run up to this. And I have confidence that's going to carry them well. I'm enthused for what they're going to do this year. Plus, they've just taken on Marks and Spencer's as a new sort of sponsorship partner. And I really want to see a packet of Percy Pig and Friends, but the friends are gelatin forms of Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon. But that's moot.
Yes, quite. I already have a segue for that, other than just I'm just cautious with Williams because of Barcelona, and I go that I'd rather they take the time to do it properly and they sacrifice accordingly, and Bahrain seemed to go all right for them, but I'm just a little bit apprehensive, and I'm already being too ambitious with Ferrari potentially, so I don't want to do double damage to myself and add Williams into the mix there. And also just Haas looks really strong throughout all of testing. And it would be nice for them to get that P5. And again, I think it'll be a small smattering of points that separates fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, to be honest with you. But I think Haas, they've got a driver pairing that's embedded now. They know what they're doing. See what they're capable of last year with a car that arguably had no right being where it was at times, looking at you, Behrmann in Mexico as prime example. So this year, I feel like they could get their first podium and maybe add a couple more to it while they're at it so that they're. Sole podium is not purely just an F1 academy.
Yeah, it's I don't want to disagree with you on that. I think we're going to see really interesting things from Haas this season. And again, it's going to be they've got a really strong Ferrari power unit in the back. They've got a driver lineup that is, again, much like Williams, really driven for this season in Behrmann and Ocon. I think Behrmann, again, knows that his time will come in that top team in Ferrari. And I think Ocon has found his home at Haas and has found this pattern and this ability to have the conversations and drive the development and be a part of the team, not just be a driver for the team. And I think that's the really important thing for Ocon is he's found a home in it. And that's gelling nicely with him. And I think that's going to really bring him out a bit more this season. Problem is, it's going to be a tight fight at the top. And I know that Haas sometimes have been known to bungle it when it comes to things like strategy and sort of professional execution of weekends. And I think that's where Williams might just be able to edge them a little bit.
Time will tell. Time will tell. I've meanwhile put Audi in seventh place just because I think they had a much stronger season last year than I thought they were going to. And I think everyone important, with a little asterisk next to it just in case I'm forgetting anyone, has been carried over into the rebrand into Audi. And they've just been quietly getting on with things. We talked about this when we were looking at their liveries, and it's such a understated but cool, calm, collectible livery of just like, yep, we knew what it was going to be. It's going to be the same for everyone in F1 Academy as well. And we're just going to plow along, do what we need to do, mind our own business, ban P7, and not be too dissatisfied with that because we have a plan and it's a long term one. And this is just the first box we've got to tick. And we've got two excellent drivers who Hülkenberg, I think he's gone from strength to strength. Barrichello, he knows what he's doing now. More points on the board this year. And when you look at the other teams that are on the list after this, on my side and on your side as well, to an extent, you got to think seventh is the least they're going to be able to achieve, surely.
Yeah,
Unless you, that is.
I'd like to agree with you on that one. And I mean, are we going to see the Audi livery on Freddie Slater's F3 car as well? Because I think that'd be quite fun.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. But anyway, I want to believe in Audi, but again, it's this new engine. It's a lot for them to tackle as a team. This is functionally Sauber now making its own engines. And yeah, they've got the right people there. They've got a good driver lineup. I think that Gabriel Bortoleto has a real skill behind the wheel. And I think Nico Hülkenberg still has a lot to prove. I'm just reluctant to give them too much in this case. This is, I think, yeah, this is where we start to really disagree until we get to our final picks. My seventh place is Cadillac. Again, they've got Ferrari power this year, which looks to be the strong one to have. You know, the gearbox works. You know that when you release that
With
clutch
great power
signal.
comes great responsibility, though, and I don't know if they've got that in hand just yet. I don't know if they've listened to Uncle Ben.
I think there's responsibility in the drivers. I have faith in Perez and Bottas. I don't think it's going to be extraordinary performances, but I think it's going to be good. And that's roughly what gets you seventh, I
Note
think.
to self, don't do pep talks anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, we were good. I think that's what we can take away from this weekend, says someone in changing rooms afterwards. I don't know. It's just Cadillac, I want to believe they're going to be interesting in their first season coming into the sport, and I think they might be. But again, I know so little about like their aerodynamic side. Like, who have they got doing things? Have they been sort of extensively
NASA,
wind tunneling things?
if their introductory video from the Super Bowl is to be believed.
Yeah, like, I where's their development come from going to? We've seen for so long that Sauber for many years couldn't afford to run its own wind turbine. Audi suddenly going to be pouring that money in? A Volkswagen Group going, go on, we'll start running our wind turbine for a Formula One project. And he's sort of going, okay.
Cadillac, on the other hand, have spent what is scientifically a ton of money on the project already. So I can kind of see them taking the same approach as Aston Martin have been trying to do, just we're going to buy our way to success. Because if we
Yeah.
spend enough money, we'll just keep failing forwards until it happens. And for Aston Martin, failing is just keeping happening at the moment. But
Yeah.
Cadillac might have got the other side of it, and maybe that's how they get to P7 for you.
Yeah, I think it's just I think Cadillac and Audi are sort of two sides of the same coin, and I think we're going to see interesting results from both because they've come at it from sort of similar but also different approaches. It's going to be really interesting. Meanwhile, we've both plumped for the same option for eighth, oddly enough, Racing Bulls.
I just think they'll do better than the other three teams I've got.
Yeah.
Lawson, I think he's still going to be a bit of a rough racer, but I like that quality. We need more of that sort of wheel bashing ability from him. I still loved the move that he did in the Red Bull in China last year on, I think it was Behrmann. And then Behrmann got him back, which was quite amusing, but I liked that racing. And Lindblad, yeah, new young blood, but teams pretty much the exact same everywhere else. It's just the new Ford partnerships that's bringing that into the mix. And again, I think it's only going to be a few points separating them and seventh, sixth, and fifth anyway, so it's not going to be terrible. I think he's going to, I don't know if he's going to get points on debut, but he's a solid driver. And of all of the Red Bull Juniors we've seen over the years, I can understand why he got promoted without winning an F2 title.
Yeah, it's he's a really promising driver. They've both got this sort of matching energy, I think, which is going to be the important thing that works well in that team. They've both got this aggression seems misplaced as a term, but this sort of determination to make moves, make progress, fight their way through a field, I think is going to be
This
really,
Daniel Ricciardo-esque ability of we will send it.
yeah. Just this send it and see attitude, which I think Racing Bulls as a team trades off of really well. And I think it's going to pay off well for them. But again, they're.
And this is a season where they can afford to take risks a bit more because it's
Yeah.
the first year of a new regulation set where they could go, we could actually beat Red Bull this year if we just take more risks for it. And it's only going to happen once, but we're going to make sure it happens that one time. Remember that year that we did actually get here. And if it doesn't go well, that's why they're in eighth, because they
Yeah.
had too many risks that didn't quite pay off. But I'd rather see that and then finish in eighth than not try.
Yeah, I think
And those two drivers feel like they wanted to do it.
they're very much sort of the team that's really going to be trying a lot of different and interesting things this year, and I think that's where that we're going to see it sometimes not work for them and sometimes really work for them. I think it's going to be sort of a complete six of one, half a dozen the other for them as they roll through the season. Meanwhile, down in ninth, I've gone for Audi, you've gone for Aston Martin. Audi, I've sort of already spoken on. I'm not entirely sure what to think of them, their own power unit choices. I don't know about their aerodynamic problems, whether or not they're going to just use Volkswagen money to spend their out problems, similar to like we theorize Cadillac might do. You've gone what I feel could be optimistic for your choice for ninth.
I just think that regardless of the issues that they have, Fernando Alonso is still Fernando Alonso. And it is for that reason and that reason alone that he will be able to drag team into P9 and go, okay, I'm gone at the end of the season because holy cow, you dropped the ball big time on my last big opportunity to get a third title or at least fight for it. And so I'm going to prove to you that even with a terrible car that they appear to have at the moment that is miles and miles off the pace, he can still deliver these results. And I think he says double checking. Yep. I still think he could get a podium this year because he's Fernando Alonso. And with the other two teams, I might as well just get them out of the way because there won't be too much to say about them. Cadillac, I just don't think that they're going to be any higher than 10th. They're going to have flashes of brilliance. And like you say, Perez and Bottas, capable drivers. They've got a lot of experience between them. But I just think, given the strength of everyone else, someone's got to finish 10th. It's going to be Cadillac. And then Alpine, I have no reason, despite positive testing. But again, testing, we said even in the delivery reveal episode that we can't really take too much from it, as much as we might like to with the likes of Ferrari and Mercedes. We ultimately have no idea until we get to Australia. So Alpine, just don't see them having learned anything.
Yeah.
So
For me,
that's
Aston
why they are
Martin.
there.
Yeah, for me, it's Aston Martin in 10th for much the same reasons that you outlined, to be fair. Just, I don't have hope in what we've seen so far. And equally, while I have some faith in Fernando Alonso, I don't think I can stretch it that far. I think that Aston Martin is going to be not just bad slow, but also bad not finishing races. And to even stand a chance of getting those points, you need to be finishing races. And I think that's where Audi might be able to outstep Aston Martin in my guide. Alpine also bottom. I have nothing to go on from them of the tail end of last year. They seem to just be guessing towards the end of last season. And we don't know what they're going to do this season. They've still got Gasly there. who's a talented and experienced driver. They've got Colapinto, who has best described as flashes of brilliance. The problem is they don't last the length of an entire Grand Prix. And I don't know. However, I will say the AI agrees with us on Alpine. It said, Alpine, 11th place, struggles with pace and development. See Alpine at the lower end of the constructors list. It's like, okay, yeah, makes sense. It's then put in 10th place, Racing Bulls, which is listed as a rookie duo, scoring sporadic points, placing them ahead of the least competitive team, but behind most midfield rivals. I was like, look, we disagreed on Liam Lawson being a rookie at the start of last season because he'd done six races. However, I don't think he counts as a rookie anymore.
No, I'm just looking at the rest of the list here and looking at other people's predictions as well, just to see what sort of stands out as being a bit odd. And for the most part, the AI has some interesting-ish choices, but for me, it's put Red Bull in sixth with Aston Martin in fifth somehow.
Yeah.
Occasional Stroll contributions, so I do quite like that. Williams in fourth. I wouldn't be against it, but I'm not even that kind of ambitious for them. And then I'm looking at some other people's here for anything that stands out. We've got Alpine at the bottom, we've got Aston Martin at the bottom, Cadillac at the bottom. They're the only ones really. A lot of people think Cadillac are going to finish plumb last. McLaren and Mercedes dominate the top end of the spectrum, with only Mr. Fraser Ford agreeing with the pair of us. So I don't know how that translates, if that makes him feel better or not about it. And then everything else is sort of all right-ish. I mean, Aston Martin up in sixth, I think, is the highest there. We've got Williams as high as third. We've got.
Ferrari as low as fifth with Williams above them is a really interesting call from Yuki.
Yeah, I think. And then we've got one. Okay, Fraser, I don't know what you're smoking, my friend, but. Aston Martin in seventh was bad enough, but Alpine in sixth. I know why he thinks that, but it didn't help the justification for it. So, yeah, I don't. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But shall we move on to the drivers?
Yeah, we'll move on to the drivers. The AI still completely lost, putting Aston Martin in fifth was a baffling choice. Williams in fourth as well was a strong call from them. Yeah, it's odd, especially because they went for Haas in eighth and then put Audi in seventh. And for Haas, it said Behrmann and Ocon score enough points to put Haas ahead of the newest teams. I'm like, why have you put Audi above it then? But anyway, driver's title. I think we can rattle through this and we'll start at the bottom and work our way up this time. So, 22nd place.
Yes,
You've gone for.
Franco Colapinto. Yeah,
I've gone for Lance Stroll, enough said. 21st, you've gone
21st,
for.
Lance Stroll for me. It was a toss-up between Colapinto and
Yeah.
Stroll, but I just went for Stroll's experience. He's found he somehow still manages to score points far too consistently, and yet somehow incredibly inconsistently in doing so. He still got me
Yeah.
21st.
It's going to be an interesting one. I've put Fernando Alonso 21st. I think this is going to be
Cruel, cruel man.
an absolutely crippling season for him because I don't think that car's going to survive the length of a race, and that's going to start really hampering them. 20th, I've finally got to my Franco Colapinto. I think again the Alpine will survive a race and therefore give him the chance to actually finish. And therefore, stand above Alonso and Stroll. You've not been particularly optimistic when it comes to the rookie.
It's not a lack of optimism. It's more a case of I just think it's going to be tight again with the points. I think he's going to score points, but I think everyone above him is going to simply score more. He's not going to be a bad driver. I think it's just when you look at a team like Cadillac, they've got the experienced drivers. They'll be able to read situations a bit better, whereas and survive Grand Prix that might be more treacherous, whereas he might just fall to some rookie mistakes here and there. It's just going to happen, unfortunately. That's the reason I put him there.
Yeah, I've given him a bit more leeway. Meanwhile, 19th, Gabriel Bortoleto for me, Pierre Gasly for you. You still do not have faith in that Alpine.
No, and I was just looking at everyone else's other predictions, and Franco Colapinto only gets as high as 15th overall in the standings, and that is once again Mr. Fraser Ford. I don't know what you're on, my friends, but everyone else 16th or lower for him. I put Gasly there because I just think again, solid driver, But I think the car and the team will just continue to not back him up in the way that he needs them to, unfortunately. We've both gone for a Cadillac driver in 18th, though, but you've gone for Bottas, I've gone for Perez.
Yeah, again, I just, in my mind, I see Perez as possibly being the stronger driver this season, or possibly just having more luck fall his way. I don't know why particularly. I just have a hunch that maybe Perez will get luckier than Bottas. Bottas sometimes does go through these runs of bad luck. It's not to say that his form drops off, it sometimes does, but also his luck really does have a bad habit of dropping off. So I think that could be what really cripples him here.
I put him in 17, so he's not doing too much better. I'm fine. You put Perez a little bit higher up overall, but yeah, I just think solid points overall, but I just don't think they're going to finish too high up in the standings. And
Yeah.
again, I don't know how many points are going to separate everyone from, say, 11th to 19th,
18,
20th
19.
place. Because we saw that last year, you'd have a Grand Prix where there's a decent sized margin, and then three drivers switch around wildly, and you go, oh, okay, back in again. And you saw that with Lawson and Alonso and Hülkenberg fighting all of this out, and you go, we genuinely don't know here. It could be anything, and it's going to be like 5 points separating five positions for all we know.
Yeah, it could be very close once more. 17th place, you've already said that you've put Valtteri Bottas there. I've gone for Nico Hülkenberg. I don't have the greatest of confidences in
I
that
have much more
Audi.
confidence.
So yeah, I've put him a little bit lower. I don't know. We'll wait and see how it goes for me. 16th place, Gabriel Bortoleto, the other Audi driver for you and for me. Not a lot of faith in that Alpine. I finally got to my Pierre Gasly.
I just think for Bortoleto, he's going to do better than last year. But again, similar argument for a lot of these until we get to the top 10. It's just going to be close. And that's just unfortunately where he's going to finish. But it's not going to be an accurate representation on how well he actually does in a Grand Prix over the course of the entire season this year.
Yeah. 15th place, I've finally reached my Sergio Perez. I think, again, luck is going to win out for him more than anything over Bottas. But he'll be pitted against Liam Lawson from your rankings.
Which I find quite fun for that. So
Yeah.
there's a little bit of history there, so I'm all up
Famously, they
for it.
get on very well. Then just above that into 14th place, I've gone for the rookie of Arvid Lindblad. I think that the RB is going to be half decent enough. Again, I think it's going to go back to being a really good training car that ambitious drivers can actually score a lot of points in. I think that suit will suit Arvid. You've gone for Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, it got really tight and tricky at this point, so I just had to be mean to someone. Unfortunately, Ocon was on the chopping block there. It's going to be tight. That Haas is going to be great, but luck is the only thing I can point to. Reliability, we don't know. At some point, engines are going to go pop, or something else is going to just happen with the cooling issue, or any sort of issue, and it's just going to impact some drivers more than others. So sorry, Ocon, you're in 14th.
Yeah, he doesn't do a great deal better with me. He comes in at 13th. Again, I think that the Haas is going to be good, but it's going to be sort of outcompeted a bit in its field. It's going to really struggle at times. And again, I don't think Haas have got the operations side of things down to really give their drivers what they need. So, and that always seems to come to Ocon. It's always a case of pit him on lap two, put him on hards, and leave him alone for the remaining gazillion laps.
It was Haas's equivalent of me choosing Carlos Sainz as fastest lap for a year and a half and just hoping
Yeah.
at some point it's going to
Eventually, the
happen.
strategy works. Yeah. They saw it work once for Alex Albon and were like, could we do that every weekend? Meanwhile, in 13th, you've gone for actually the driver I just mentioned, Alex Albon.
Yeah, again, someone had to be there. It's going to be super tight. I'm just going to keep repeating myself, I feel like, for the next few of these, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, much the same theory for Liam Lawson. And I guess you can just nod in appreciation when I say that you've picked Carlos Sainz to finish 12th. Yeah. And then we
Pretty
get
much.
to. Yeah, for me, Ollie Bearman just scraping the top 10, and we agree here. This is our first agreement in the driver's title, working away from the bottom.
Yeah, Ollie Bearman. I think, again, tight, but a bit like Bortoleto below, not a fair representation of what he's done. It's going to be one of these on paper, oh, P11. But then if you've actually watched the season, you go, trust me, that doesn't begin to tell the story of how
Yeah.
good he actually was this year.
He squeezed in three P4s and then the engine let go, the gearbox let go, and then like his rear wing fell off in three successive Grand Prix. So it sort of completely negated the hard work he'd put in, sort of style of run.
He got in the Lego car by accident and then
Yeah.
had a small accident and it all came apart, so obviously he couldn't race anymore.
Haas accidentally gave him Esteban Ocon's strategy of pit on lap two for hard tyres. We say that we shouldn't be mean to Haas for that. They are, you will have seen the news that the Australian Grand Prix are naming one of the corners in honor of
And
Laura
Schmitz and
and
Laura.
Anna Schmitz. Yeah, so it's a nice touch. And again, this is no, we're not having a dig at her.
Oh, no, not a herd, no.
Haas need to get a bit more inventive with their pit strategies for the coming season, especially when it could be pit strategies that really play into how this season
And
pans
they
out.
seem to have a really good relationship as well. In terms of
Yeah.
what they seem very much in sync with what they're doing, so I don't know if it's I agree with you. It's the team as a whole. Just come
Yeah.
on, we want you to do well.
There's an overarching thing with the team more so than necessarily Laura and Esteban. 10th place, I've got Isaac Hadjar not having a great time in the top Red Bull car. But again, I think it's going to be tight between those top teams. And it's just going to be a tricky one for him to get to grips with. Surrounded by very experienced drivers in quite settled chassis. And I think, yeah, he's not, again, much like we said with Behrmann, he's not going to have a bad time. The problem is, it's just going to be so
Everyone else is
condensed.
not going to have a bad time either.
Yeah, he's just the slightest slip, and we did see that in Spain from him, is going to send him sort of skidding down the order a bit. And then it's very hard to try and climb your way back up it. So I think that's my overarching theory for Hadjar. You've gone for the very bold call of Fernando Alonso 10th.
I have no real justification for it other than he's Fernando Alonso, and maybe just sheer anger will propel him into the top 10, and somehow that's only enough to get Aston Martin into P9 in my instance in the Constructors' Championship. But it will just show them what they could have had. It's sort of, you get to sleep with the girlfriend one more time before she leaves you, and she proves how great she is and why you should have, done all you could to keep
Very strange analogy, but sure.
her.
Yeah,
I watched The Wolf of Wall Street recently.
I think there's only so many times F1 will allow you to push your car across the finish line at the end of a Grand Prix, and I think Fernando Alonso may find out what the cap is on that rule this season. For me, I then get to 9th and 8th, and I've got the Williams pairing of Albon and then Sainz just edging out on top.
I've put Hülkenberg in ninth. I believe in him and Audi. Just mad from this time last year, if you'd hear me saying this to myself. And Hadjar, I just think, yeah, okay, not still not a bad year being in P8, but I think considering all the other drivers that we've got the name, 8th is about the best he could hope for, barring something calamitous happening to some of the drivers up ahead of him now remaining on our list.
Yeah, look at the ones that are left on your list, and for that matter, mine. You look at who he's got to beat, and
It's
you sort of
tricky.
have you missed someone off your list? Oh
I
no, I
don't
haven't
think
scrolled up far
so.
enough. That's all. I was looking at yours, going, where's him? And then I realized that I hadn't scrolled up far enough to reveal it. Yeah, you look at the drivers that are above Hadjar on your list. You've got both McLarens, you've got both Mercedes, you've got both Ferraris, and you've got Max Verstappen. That's a huge pool of very talented drivers that are settled at the teams they're at as well, that he's got to compete
Kimi is the
against.
only one he could stand a chance of beating, perhaps, but that's purely because he's only been in Formula One as long as Hadjar has, but I still wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Kimi, I've put him in 7th place, and this is a bit like with our constructors, actually. I've put Kimi in 7th and Lando in 6th, and you've gone vice versa.
Think Kimi's going to settle down a bit this year. Not that he wasn't settled last year, but he's going to be more comfortable this year. And I think if it's as tight as we predict it's going to be at the top of the pyramid, then Lando may buckle under some pressure. It was tricky enough for him to win a title last year when it was only his teammate and then Max coming out of nowhere. What happens when you stick six other drivers into the mix alongside himself? He
Yeah.
finishes seventh, is my argument.
Yeah, when he's not got that outright rocket ship, what can Lando Norris do? And in your mind, he finishes 7th. I've put him in 6th, which is a bit more generous. I think he might have an edge over Kimi Antonelli, but
Which is possibly the lowest we've ever positioned a world champion after they've won a world championship since we started doing this podcast. We've never put
That's a
Lewis or Max
very
this far
good
down.
point. Yeah, we would have never put them outside of maybe the top 4. So this is a bit of a kicking, I'm afraid, for LN4 stands. We then get to fifth place. You've gone for the other McLaren driver. I've gone for Max Verstappen, having a bit of a shocker of a year, but not too much of a shocker compared to where you've put Max Verstappen, which is fourth, where is also my Oscar Piastri. So again, we've done sort of the swappy
It's just, yeah, just close points again, and I think they'll both be happy in some respects because they've both beaten Lando in both of our predictions. So that's good enough for them. You know, in a tricky year, okay, we've had other people beat us, but the important thing is we've won into team battle and Max gets to have a little bit more satisfaction over you only won by 2 points and I've beaten you the following year. You may continue.
I think it's going to be interesting seeing that. Again, much the same. I just think that the Red Bull power unit is going to suffer a bit more than the Mercedes one will over the season, and that might be why we see Piastri just eke ahead of Verstappen. He has sort of a slightly more consistent run of luck and reliability. We then get to third, where we both agree on something.
The only other time on this list that we agree.
We're completely in. Well, obviously, podium. We've got some picks for podium, but then
No,
everything
but I mean,
else.
in terms of the Drivers' Championship, we only
Oh, on
had
the Drivers' Championship. Yes. Yeah, this is our last tournament.
Behrman in 11th and George Russell in 3rd. Everyone else we disagree on.
We're close with a lot of them, but these are the only proper agreements. And it's, yeah, George Russell in third. I think the Mercedes power unit looks good. If they get that fuel ticked off, I think this is going to be his year to have a really good run at a championship. And he knows how to race Charles Leclerc. He knows how to race Lewis Hamilton. He's had that side-by-side experience with both
I
of these
would
guys
love
on
a
track.
Silverstone 22 with those three.
Yeah, off goes Leclerc, through goes Russell, and we've got yet another different sort of British Grand Prix winner. Fantastic. I look forward to
If
seeing
Lewis can't win the British Grand Prix this year, then
Russell
George
would,
feels right.
I would possibly cry in the grandstands if he does that. So there you are, George Russell. There's the bar that I need you to cross. Make me cry in public. Second place. And first place, as you anyone who's actually paying attention will realize, we've left aside for the Ferrari boys. We've agreed that we don't agree on these ones. I've gone for Hamilton second, Leclerc first, and process of elimination, you've gone vice versa.
Yeah, I've fully jumped on board the train and gone, sod it. Let's go. Let's get the eighth title, his first with Ferrari. Yes, I'll say his first with Ferrari, as if there's more to come after that. I'm feeling that bold about it. And Leclerc not too far behind him in second. I think it would be a nice run. It would be sort of if Abu Dhabi 2014 hadn't had the double points, it's that kind of closeness in terms of the points going into the last race. And it's going to be frustrating for Charles, but it's still Lewis Hamilton, and if he's even half as good as he thinks he is after the post he did last weekend at time of recording, then he is going to be dangerous in all manner of ways. And that takes a special kind of someone to beat. And Charles is good, but I don't know if he's that good
Good.
to take on Lewis in a renewed prime, potentially. Across an entire season. There'll be times where he will. But I don't know if when it comes to it,
I
it'll
can't
happen.
find a professional way of saying that.
You disagree.
No, not that I disagree. I'm trying to think of there's a specific phrase that I want to use to suggest that Lewis Hamilton may be distracted by his new girlfriend
Ah,
across this season.
yes.
And
No, I
I
think that will be the motivation that'll help fuel it.
It's great because there's this great idea in my mind that Kendall Jenner now knows that Stevenage exists and knows of the idea of like new and garden cities in the UK. So she's also now familiar with the idea of like Milton Keynes and Welwyn Garden City and that sort of strange estate planning that emerged post-war in Britain. But
No,
that's
that's
really
not the one he's dating, right?
no, but
Allegedly.
He's dating. I know he's dating Kim, but they all talk amongst each other. They will have
Hmm.
almost certainly asked him, "Where do you come from?" He will have gone Stevenage. They will have Googled it, opened the Wikipedia page, and like the fourth link, I should guess, on like the Wikipedia page for Stevenage is something about like post-war planning in modern Britain. And I guarantee one of them will have clicked it and read it. But anyway, I think Charles is going to have the edge here. He knows how that team works. He knows how to make that team work for him. And I think he's really going to be quite driven coming into this season. I think also, much like he's going to be motivated in a similar relationship sense, much like Alex Albon was when it came to doing so many adverts through last year to obviously pay for the absolutely enormous rock that he then gave Lily money. Charles has now got a wedding to pay for, so I think there's obviously some prize money he's going to be hunting down desperately, and I think a championship prize pot would do him quite nicely when it comes to that. But
In terms of the guests, we've got Kiaramani saying Russell's winning the championship. There's a lot of Piastri winning the championship. Cheryl saying Verstappen, Haas chap saying Russell, and Fraser's agreeing with you saying Leclerc. We've got some, let's see who we've got interesting. Hadjar as high as P6 in places, Hamilton down in P9. A lot of
That's not the
Colapinto
lowest
down at
we'll
the
see Hamilton.
bottom.
That's not the lowest we'll see Hamilton. We'll get to the AI in a second.
We've got Hadjar in 11th as well. Just seeing if there's anyone else that stands up. Lindblad up into 12th. Antonelli down in 10th. Alonso in 9th. Behrman in 9th. But mostly sensible-ish or sensible adjacent on the whole.
Sainz in sixth for Sabrina is a really strong call. I like the optimism. There's a couple of Sainz sevenths as well, a couple of Albon sevenths, a
I
couple
will
of
caveat that with she's also Spanish, so that may just be what's causing that to be chosen.
understandable. I hope she has a very good year. But it also explains why she's put Alonso in 10th, to be fair. But yeah, no, I do want to now draw our attention to AI.
Jesus Christ, I've just seen some of the choices it's made here.
Have you seen
Bloody
the choice
hell.
it made for? Okay, we'll start at the top because I think that's the least controversial area of its predictions. So bear in mind.
I've just done what you did and not scroll all the way to the top, so I thought you predicted Alonso for second. Oh, bloody hell, that's a bit ambitious.
Okay, so bear in mind the AI predicted McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari as its top three. Bear that in mind when we go through this driver's list. So it predicts that Norris will win his second driver's title. It has stated strong engine and title defense momentum. It's then, much like many people have put, Russell second place, Mercedes power unit advantage likely key. Then it's gone Piastri, consistent challenger for the title. Verstappen, world's best driver. Team may struggle slightly to match top engines. Fifth place, Antonelli, breakthrough year with strong package. Sixth place, Leclerc, Ferrari improvement expected mid-season.
Not
Improvement on
according to
what?
some of your other bits later, but all right.
Seventh, Alonso, experience and better car potential.
Well, it can't have worse car potential.
Mr. GPT, what are you thinking about? Then we get to Hadjar, rookie breakout with competitive car. Ninth is Behrman, Haas punching above midfield weight. 10th, Gasly, Alpine midfield consistency. Brilliant phrase. We have never heard that since Alpine arrived in the sport.
No
Hülkenberg,
plan.
11th, Audi continuous points. Bortoleto, 12th, young scorer in midfield. 13th, Lindblad, rookie points here and there. 14th, Lawson, slight edge over teammate. Do you know who
Probably
your teammate is? They're below.
thinks it's Yuki.
15th, Albon, top midfield scorer. Who's the top midfield
Not
scorer
in
when he's been in
15th.
15th? 16th, Sainz, solid team results but fewer peak finishes. 17th, Ocon, points sporadically. 18th, Colapinto, struggles in weaker car. How is he struggling in a weaker car if Alpine have got midfield consistency with Gasly in 10th?
Well, because it's only Gasly that's got the midfield consistency
Ah, they've
on
given
the car.
Colapinto the weaker car. 19th, Perez. New team grows, but initially slow. Bottas, 20th. Same new team challenges. 21st, Stroll. Limited high finishes. That might as well be his
It's
fucking
one of the
career.
politest ways to put that I've ever seen.
And then.
Limited high finishes. I feel like the word it's used to justify the choice here is in itself the definition of the word.
Yes. 22nd, Lewis Hamilton, underwhelming year, struggling with team adaptation.
Underwhelming. Bloody hell.
But nonetheless, Ferrari, with one driver in sixth and one in 22nd, will somehow come third, which does not speak a great deal for ChatGPT's confidence in its other predictions. But there we go. Drivers out the way. We've then asked people to pick every driver to score a podium. I think it's going to be relatively obvious what we've got here. Most of us have gone for both McLarens, both Ferraris, certainly both Red Bulls, both Mercedes. I've gone for both Racing Bulls. Who put Stroll on my list? Did I put him there?
Not me. Must have been you.
Maybe I put him there as like a bold call, just like I see like a torrential race where everything's wet and he suddenly becomes prime Senna like he sometimes does for whatever reason. Behrmann, Ocon, Albon, Sainz. I think we're going to see double Haas podium this year. I think we're going to see both of them up there. So that's my list.
I've put both
Yours.
Audis and both Cadillacs on mine, which is the sort of amusing bit to add into that because I've got no idea how it's happening or why it's happening, but I just think it could somehow happen.
AI, meanwhile, has at least gone for some consistency with its previous selections, where it's gone Norris and Piastri both getting on the podium, Russell and Antonelli, Verstappen and Hadjar, Albon and Sainz, Leclerc, Alonso, Hülkenberg, Gasly. So at least it's not predicted Hamilton to come last with a podium, but it's still incredible. Kiara, listen
It's
to the
baffling.
podcast, put in your every driver to score a podium. You've forgotten to put them in. And everyone else has been very much the same. There's both McLarens, both Ferraris, both Red Bulls, both Williams mostly. It's an interesting combination. Haaschap has played it very slim, but I may need to point out to him that he will also lose points for drivers that do score a podium that he hasn't named. So maybe he'll come back and add some in. And then we get to the interesting sort of wild card question. So who will have the most DNFs? Timo, you've gone for Perez. I've gone for Hülkenberg. The AI went for Colapinto.
Yeah, I think bad luck, Cadillac, and reliability is all that's going to be in a nutshell. I have nothing
Same for me, but change the word Cadillac for Audi. I think it is about
else.
as far as I can go with it. I can see there being hurdles. That's it. I can't explain why AI picked DNFs and Colapinto, but it also tallies with a later question for that. So at least it's playing the long game there. Then we asked the question, this is the question we asked last year of when will they swap? I think it was Yuki and Liam, and everyone said they wouldn't do it. I, by default of saying they will, won a point for that. I've now asked, will they swap Isaac and Liam? And I
Pretty
think
much everyone has said they won't,
everyone has said they
aside from
won't,
the AI, I think.
which thinks that they'll do it after the summer break. I really had to push it for an answer on this one. And eventually it went, look,
Even that wasn't happy about it.
yeah, even Mr. Chat wasn't happy and was like, look, if they're going to do it, they usually do it after summer break. I was like, reasonable. I mean, ignoring how few races they gave Jack Doohan at Alpine. But anyway, then we go to the fastest pit stop. I've gone Ferrari, you've gone Audi, the AI has gone for McLaren, almost certainly basing that off of like strong performances last year. Then it's a mix of Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari. So a bit of a smattering across the board. No one predicting Cadillac, the completely new team, are going to be very good at pit stops. Which, given how unlucky Valtteri Bottas is when it comes to pit stops, is also a funny concept. So we could see a new record set here, which.
Can't get worse, surely.
Don't tempt them. Don't tempt them. They could do something incredible here. Meanwhile, Battle of the Americans, and this is a clean sweep for Haas.
Which I can't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, I would have said that before testing, I think. It's just purely experience versus inexperience. They've got to do better. It's
In
mad if they don't.
I there will be a huge upset if they don't. I think it'll be really interesting to watch the fallout of that as it happens. And then we get to biggest damage bill. And this is where the AI finally agrees with itself and suggests that Colapinto will also have the biggest damage bill. Timo, you've also
Which
agreed with
most
the AI.
people also say Colapinto. I think it's just Sabrina and yourself that disagree, but you've both gone for different drivers. She's gone for Lindblad and you've gone for
Hadjar. I can just see them having like a race that, or like an FP2 moment where they just obliterate a chassis, and that just bumps them
you're
straight
going for one bad incident and it just screws up the entire total for the year.
Think Yuki at Imola barrel rolling the car to oblivion. I think it's that sort of a thing. It's not indicative of like a lot of DNFs, a lot of crashes. I think it's just a case of they are perfectly capable of having an incredible shunt and racking up the bill there. So that's my theory.
I think it's just going to be consistency is key from Colapinto, but not in the way that anyone wants it.
Unfortunately, that may come true. But there we go. Those are our predictions for the 2026 Formula One season. On top of that, we will again be running our Fantasy Formula One League. Obviously, head along to fantasy.formula1.com, make your teams, and join our league. I think it's called something sensible like Undercut Podcast League. The join code for it is P5X175SD905. It will be
I
available on our
imagine you'll
social
put in the
medias.
description.
It'll also be in the description. Yes, you're entirely correct. But for our completely auditory listeners, they may want the accessibility of me reading it out to them. I
Surely it
felt
would also be in that description.
I'm just covering all bases. It's 2026. We've got to make this thing accessible as possible. Only eight people listen to us on a regular occasion. If we can at least get the deaf
It's not what the
community.
last episode said. We did quite well there.
We did.
We're on an up. We're having a Ferrari year this year. It's going to be good. You wait and see.
Maybe we are. There we go. Those are our predictions for the season. Go and make some fantasy Formula One teams. Join our league. Maybe we'll make a wooden spoon prize this year. Who knows? Can you beat the AI? Let us know your predictions for the season. Who do you think is going to come out on top in the teams, the drivers, and who's going to score podiums this year? In theory, we should do better than ChatGPT. In theory, we'll wait and see.
I do hope so. We've got to be doing better than at least 20 seconds.
We've got to do better than ChatGPT, otherwise we might as well hang up our hats for this. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week on the Undercut Podcast. We'll be back, I'm correct in thinking, next week or the week
This time
after.
next week.
This time next week to preview
The
Australia Grand
Australian
Prix.
Grand Prix.
Wow, that's coming around quickly. So we'll be back laying down even more predictions ahead of the Australian Grand Prix, our usual sort of quintet of options of pole position, the podium, and fastest lap, which is still not counted, but we do, and a wild prediction. So again, get in touch ahead of time with your predictions for the Australian Grand Prix too. It should be interesting. Feel free to predict for your wild prediction that like half the grid aren't there because they haven't got petrol or can't make their car leave a starting line yet. That could be a very real problem. They've only got a week left to sort that
Will
out.
we see any of them go in reverse?
Accidentally get the wrong gear. We could be faced with, what was it, 2005 Indianapolis. We could be faced with a 2005 US Grand Prix scenario where only like six cars actually take to the start.
It'll be the Ferraris again.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be weird, but great. A great way to start the season if you're Ferrari, at least, with a complete head
If I
start.
had 10 cents for every time this happened, I'd only have 20 cents, but it's damn weird it happened twice.
Wait, how many teams are running Ferrari Power? Ferrari?
Haas, Cadillac.
Cadillac. That's it. So it is going to be six teams
Six.
that take to the grid.
Six cars,
Oh,
yeah.
this is going to be exciting. My only other theory is that it takes so long for the cars to build boost and electrical energy that we're going to see the introduction of two formation laps. I think that's the only possible reason that
Or it turns into a timed race because we need to clear out by 6 o'clock so I can get
still
the
sat
bike
there
back to the
waiting for the
Aussies.
Audi to launch. Nico Hülkenberg still sat in his grid box, someone desperately waving a yellow flag, and it's lap 14. And he's going, come on, come on, come on, it's nearly there. It's going to be interesting, whatever happens. We'll be back with a preview for the Australian Grand Prix, and we'll be back with a review of the Australian Grand Prix as well. Do we have a guest for either of those yet? Just tease people with.
Will, but you will have to wait and see until we get there. That's how we keep them coming back.
We're really teasing them then. In that case, Timo, thank you very much for joining me. And in the meantime, if people want more from award-winning motorsports journalist Timo Albers-Daily, where can they find your award-winning content?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? You can find me
Yeah,
over
why I've
on the
asked it.
Curbs and the Chronicle. That is where the majority of the stuff happened. IndyCar's back this weekend, so there'll be more on the Curbs IndyCar stuff. And
Speaking of
you have
IndyCar.
something for that as well while I'm there. Go
I
for it.
think Prema have finally gone officially bust because they do not have a team lined up for IndyCar.
No, the current thing is that they'll probably miss the first three races at the very least. They may still come back for sporadic appearances, but we shall wait and see on that one. It's
It's
not
like,
ideal. We took the hint when IndyCar reintroduced themselves and Prema was not a team on the grid. That wasn't a great sign, to be honest.
yeah, it's
So,
going to be.
yeah, we'll be talking about that and many other things, especially how tight that's going to be this season. So on the Curbs IndyCar for all of that. That's going to be my main plug for this one. There we go.
And if you want more from me, you can find me on most social media platforms as at Jesse on Cars. There'll be pictures from Pomeroy Trophy that are out at the moment, pictures from Race Retro, which was only the weekend, pictures from all sorts of bits and pieces I'm out and about in the car world doing car-y things. And of course, you can read about them in print in Classic Car Weekly. Listen to the Classic Car Weekly podcast and give the socials for that a follow as well, because my editor likes it when he sees that number go up because it means I'm doing my job. But otherwise, we'll be back soon with a preview of the Australian Grand Prix, which may or may not feature just six cars.